everyone, welcome back for another dip dive. You know that feeling when your foot falls asleep?
Yeah.
All those pins and needles?
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine that, but it never goes away.
Oh, wow.
That's what millions of people with neuropathy are dealing with.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's a condition we've had a ton of requests to cover.
Makes sense.
So today we are diving deep into the world of neuropathy.
I'm ready.
And thankfully, we've got a fantastic article here to guide us.
Okay.
It's called Understanding Neuropathy. An in-depth overview.
Kitschy.
It was published just today, November 17th, 2024.
Wow, very recent.
By Joseph Steinhauser on joesdigitalcreations.com.
Okay.
It's packed with info, and I'm really excited to explore it with you.
Me too. I think this is a topic that's often misunderstood.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I'm glad we're taking the time to really unpack it.
Perfect. Well, before we get into all the different types and causes, can you just give us a clear picture of what's actually happening in the body when someone has neuropathy?
Absolutely. So essentially, neuropathy is damage to your peripheral nervous system.
Okay.
So think of your nerves like this vast communication network connecting your brain and spinal cord to every other part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So when these nerves get damaged, it disrupts the transmission of signals.
Oh, I see.
And that leads to a whole bunch of different symptoms.
So it's kind of like having static on the line
or
a dropped call in your body's communication system.
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
Because this communication network is responsible for everything from feeling sensations to moving your muscles to regulating your organs.
Wow.
Neuropathy can really manifest in a lot of surprising ways.
So that leads us perfectly then to the different types of neuropathy.
Right.
Because as you mentioned, it's not like a one-size-fits-all condition.
No, not at all. There are four main types.
Okay.
Each affecting different parts of the nervous system.
Got it.
So the most common one is peripheral neuropathy, which, as the name suggests, impacts the nerves in your extremities.
It's hands and feet.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's where we get those like classic tingling and numbness in the fingers and toes.
Yeah, you got it. But it can also progress to burning pain, muscle weakness.
Oh, wow.
Even difficulty with balance and coordination.
It's kind of amazing how something that might start as just like a minor annoyance can become so debilitating.
Yeah, it can be quite a progression.
Wow.
Now, the second type is autonomic neuropathy.
Okay.
And this one is a bit sneakier.
How so?
Well, it affects the nerves that control your involuntary functions.
Like the stuff your body just does automatically?
Exactly. Without you even thinking about it.
Things like your heartbeat and digestion.
Yeah.
And bladder control.
Mm-hmm. Those are all definitely functions you don't want messing up.
No kidding.
And that's what makes autonomic neuropathy so tricky.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
The symptoms can be so wide-ranging and kind of unexpected.
Oh, like what?
Well, for instance, you might have problems regulating your body temperature.
Okay.
Or experience excessive sweating, or even have digestive issues.
The article actually mentioned that autonomic neuropathy can even affect the nerves that control your sweat glands.
It's true.
That's crazy. It's wild to think about how diverse the symptoms can be.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay.
And it just highlights how interconnected our nervous system is.
Wow.
So moving on to proximal neuropathy.
Okay.
This type typically causes severe pain in the thighs, hips, and buttocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often associated with diabetes.
Okay, so we've talked about the link between diabetes and neuropathy a little bit.
Right.
But can you explain a little more?
Sure.
Why is high blood sugar so damaging to nerves?
Well, over time, high blood sugar can damage the tiny blood vessels that nourish your nerves.
Oh, okay.
And when that happens, it disrupts the flow of oxygen and nutrients.
Uh-huh.
Which leads to nerve damage and dysfunction.
So it's really important. Yeah. For people with diabetes to manage their blood sugar levels.
Absolutely.
It's not just about managing the diabetes itself.
Right.
It's about preventing these potentially life-altering complications.
Exactly.
Got it.
And then the fourth type is focal neuropathy.
Okay.
Which is a little different.
How so?
It involves damage to a single nerve or a group of nerves.
Okay.
But in a very specific area.
So instead of those widespread symptoms, might experience problems in just like one specific spot.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So like
you might have double vision or facial pain or weakness in one arm.
Got it.
It really underscores the complexity of this condition.
Yeah, for sure.
Now that we've outlined those main types of neuropathy.
Okay.
I think it's important to explore what causes this nerve damage.
Yeah. Let's get into that.
Okay.
What are some of the usual suspects?
The culprits behind neuropathy.
Yes.
Well, as we've discussed, diabetes is a major risk factor.
Right.
But it's definitely not the only one. there's actually a whole range of potential causes.
Like what?
Well, it can be injuries or infections, exposure to toxins, certain medications, vitamin deficiencies, even genetic predisposition.
So it could be something obvious, like an injury, or something much more subtle, like a vitamin deficiency.
Exactly.
It seems like getting the right diagnosis would be really crucial then.
Absolutely.
To figure out the underlying cause.
You're absolutely right, because the symptoms of neuropathy can be really varied.
Yeah, I bet.
And easily mistaken for other conditions.
Oh, wow.
That's why it's so important to see a doctor if you're experiencing any of the common signs.
Okay, so let's talk about those signs.
Sure.
What should people be on the lookout for when it comes to neuropathy?
So the most common symptoms are numbness, tingling, or that pins and needles sensation.
Right.
Often starting in the hands and feet.
Okay.
But it can also manifest as burning pain, sharp stabbing pains, or even a feeling of wearing an invisible glove or sock.
Oh, wow. So it can be a lot more than just those classic tingling sensations.
It can be.
I know some people actually describe the pain as being quite intense.
That's true. It can be.
Wow.
And these sensations, they can be constant or they might come and go.
Okay.
Sometimes they're worse at night and interfere with sleep.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Okay.
And in addition to those sensory symptoms,
right,
neuropathy can also cause muscle weakness problems with balance and coordination.
Oh, wow.
Even changes in your skin and nails.
It's amazing how widespread the impact can be.
It really is.
It really makes you realize how important it is to pay attention to your body.
Yeah.
And to see a doctor.
Absolutely.
If something feels off.
Early detection is key when it comes to managing neuropathy and preventing those complications.
And speaking of complications.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that untreated neuropathy can lead to some pretty serious consequences.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Of course.
What are some of the potential risks if neuropathy is left unmanaged?
So one of the most concerning complications, especially with diabetic neuropathy, is the development of foot ulcers.
Okay.
And because of the numbness, people might not even realize they have a cut or a sore on their foot.
Oh, right, because they can't feel it.
Exactly.
They might not take care of it properly.
That's right. And these seemingly minor wounds can quickly become infected.
Oh, wow.
Especially with reduced blood flow to the extremities, which is another common complication.
Right.
Healing becomes even more difficult.
So it's this kind of vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Where the neuropathy leads to the foot ulcers, which don't heal properly and can lead to even more serious problems.
Unfortunately, that's true. And in severe cases, these infections can lead to tissue death.
Oh.
And even amputation.
That's scary.
That's why early detection and proper management of neuropathy are so vital. Mm-hmm. We want to prevent those complications from ever happening.
It's a stark reminder of why it's so important to take this condition seriously.
It is.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about what can be done.
Okay.
To manage and treat neuropathy once it's been diagnosed.
Sure.
What are some of the key strategies?
Well, the first step is always addressing any underlying conditions.
Okay.
That might be contributing to the nerve damage.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's diabetes, getting your blood sugar under control is super important.
Right.
If it's a vitamin deficiency, supplementation might be necessary.
So it seems like identifying and treating that root cause is often the most effective approach.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
And while we can't always reverse nerve damage, we can often slow its progression and manage the symptoms.
Okay. That's good.
Now, in terms of medications, your doctor might prescribe anticonvulsants, antidepressants, or topical agents to help relieve pain.
Can you explain how those types of medications work for neuropathy?
Sure.
Because I wouldn't necessarily associate anticonvulsants or antidepressants with nerve pain.
That's a great question. So anticonvulsants were originally developed to treat seizures.
Okay.
But they've also been found to be really effective in calming those overactive nerves.
Oh, I see.
That contribute to neuropathic pain.
Okay.
Antidepressants, on the other hand, work by increasing levels of certain neurotransmitters in your brain, which can actually help modulate pain signals.
So they're kind of hijacking those brain pathways to interrupt the pain signals.
You got it.
That's fascinating.
And then topical agents like creams or patches containing lidocaine or capsaicin can provide more localized pain relief.
So it sounds like there's a whole arsenal of medications that can be kind of tailored to the individual's specific needs.
Precisely. And it's important to remember that medication is only one part of the treatment plan.
Right.
Physical therapy can also be super helpful.
Oh, okay. How so?
in regaining strength, flexibility, and mobility.
I can see how physical therapy would be beneficial for addressing the muscle weakness.
Yeah.
And balance issues that can go along with neuropathy.
Absolutely. It's about retraining those muscles and improving coordination.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond medication and physical therapy, lifestyle modifications also play a really crucial role.
So it's kind of a holistic approach.
Oh, exactly.
Looking at both the physical and lifestyle factors that contribute to neuropathy.
Exactly. Things like diet, exercise,
yeah.
stress management, getting enough sleep.
Right.
They all contribute to your overall health and well-being,
mm-hmm.
which can definitely positively impact neuropathy.
I know we talked earlier about B vitamins being essential for nerve health.
Yes.
What are some other things that people with neuropathy should keep in mind about their diet?
Well, a balanced diet, rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, is always a good foundation.
Of course.
But it's also important to limit processed foods, sugary drinks, and saturated fats.
Okay.
Because they can contribute to inflammation.
Right.
And further damage nerves.
It's interesting how interconnected our diet and our nerve health are.
It really is.
What about exercise?
Yeah.
You mentioned it can be helpful, but are there certain types that are better than others?
Well, low impact exercises, mm-hmm. like walking, swimming, or cycling,
mm-hmm.
are generally well tolerated.
Okay.
And they can improve your circulation and strength without putting too much stress on your joints.
Right.
The important thing is to start slowly.
Okay.
Listen to your body and avoid any activities that make your symptoms worse.
So it's all about finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Where you're challenging yourself, but not pushing yourself too hard.
Exactly.
And don't underestimate the power of stress management.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Techniques like yoga meditation or deep breathing.
Absolutely. Stress can worsen pain.
Right.
So finding healthy ways to cope is essential.
It seems like managing neuropathy is really about making those sustainable lifestyle changes.
It is.
That support your overall health and well-being.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay, great.
It's not just about treating the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It's about empowering yourself to take control of your health.
Right.
And make choices that promote nerve health.
I love that.
Good.
Okay.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
But I want to make sure we also address the emotional side of living with neuropathy.
Yeah. For sure. It's not just a physical condition.
Right.
It can really take a toll on your mental health.
Absolutely. The chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
the limitations it can impose on your life.
Right.
The fear of complications.
Yeah.
It can all be incredibly overwhelming.
And I imagine it's easy to feel isolated and alone.
It is.
Especially when other people might not fully understand what you're going through.
Exactly. The symptoms might not be visible.
Right.
So people might not realize the extent of the impact
mm-hmm.
it's having on your daily life.
Right.
And this can lead to feelings of frustration, anxiety, even depression.
So what can people do to cope with that emotional burden?
Right.
Where can they find support?
Well, first and foremost, it's crucial to acknowledge those feelings.
Okay.
And not try to suppress them. Don't be afraid to talk about what you're going through.
Right.
Whether it's with a trusted friend, family member, therapist, or support group.
Connecting with others who understand can make a world of difference.
It can.
It can help you feel less alone.
Yeah.
And more validated.
Exactly. And it can also provide a space to share coping strategies.
Oh, that's great.
And learn from each other's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just knowing that you're not alone in this journey can be incredibly empowering.
You mentioned therapy.
Yeah.
When might that be a helpful option?
Therapy can be really beneficial for anyone struggling with the emotional impact of a chronic condition,
mm-hmm.
like neuropathy.
Mm-hmm.
It can provide you with tools and techniques for managing pain, stress, and anxiety.
Right.
It can also help you develop a more positive mindset and build resilience.
So it's about equipping yourself with the mental and emotional tools to navigate the challenges of living with neuropathy.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember that seeking help from a mental health professional is not a sign of weakness.
Right.
It's a sign of strength and self-care.
I love that.
You deserve to feel supported and empowered on this journey.
Absolutely. And speaking of empowerment.
Yes.
Let's talk about something that I think often gets overlooked when we talk about neuropathy.
Okay.
And that's prevention.
Right.
While not all causes of neuropathy are preventable.
True.
There are definitely certain steps we can take.
Yes.
To reduce our risk.
You're right. Prevention is always better than cure.
Exact.
And as we've already established, diabetes is a major risk factor.
Right.
So if you have diabetes, managing your blood sugar effectively is absolutely crucial.
That means keeping those blood sugar levels within a healthy range through diet, exercise, and medication if needed.
Exactly. And it's not just about preventing neuropathy.
Yeah.
Good blood sugar control can also help slow the progression of nerve damage.
Oh, okay.
If it's already present.
So it's never too late to make positive changes.
Never.
That's encouraging to hear. It's a good reminder that we do have some control over our health.
We do.
And we can take steps to protect ourselves.
Absolutely. Now, another important step is to avoid excessive alcohol consumption.
Okay.
Because alcohol can be toxic to nerves and over time.
Mm-hmm.
It can contribute to the development of alcoholic neuropathy.
So moderation is key, as with many things in life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of toxins, be mindful of exposure to environmental toxins.
Oh, right.
Things like heavy metals, pesticides, and industrial solvents.
Yeah.
Those can also damage nerves.
So if you work in an environment where you might be exposed to those substances,
yes,
make sure you're following safety protocols and wearing protective gear.
Absolutely. And it's not just occupational exposure, even everyday products.
Oh, really?
Like cleaning supplies and paints can contain harmful chemicals.
Wow.
So read labels, carefully choose safer alternatives when possible, and always make sure there's good ventilation when using those products.
It's about being aware of those potential risks and taking steps to minimize them.
Exactly.
Okay, so what are some other things people can do to protect their nerve health?
Maintaining good overall health is crucial.
Okay.
That means eating a balanced diet.
Right.
Rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget those B vitamins. They're essential for nerve health.
We've talked about diet. What about exercise?
Yeah, regular exercise is really important.
Okay.
For overall health and well-being, including nerve health.
Okay.
It improves circulation, strengthens muscles, and helps reduce stress.
Mm-hmm.
All good things for your nerves.
And finally, if you have any pre-existing conditions that might increase your risk of neuropathy,
yes,
like autoimmune diseases or vitamin deficiencies,
right,
it's important to work closely with your doctor.
Absolutely.
To manage those conditions effectively.
That's an excellent point.
Okay, great.
It's about taking a proactive approach to your health and addressing any potential risk factors.
Now, we talked about the importance of early detection.
Yes.
But I'm curious about the actual diagnostic process.
Sure.
How is neuropathy actually diagnosed?
Okay.
What can people expect if they go to the doctor with symptoms?
Well, the first step is usually a thorough medical history and physical exam.
Makes sense.
So your doctor will ask you about your symptoms,
mm-hmm,
when they started, how long they've been going on,
okay,
any other medical conditions you have, and any medications you're taking.
So they'll want to get a really complete picture of your health history.
Exactly. They'll also ask about your lifestyle habits, like alcohol consumption.
Okay.
And exposure to toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And then the physical exam will likely include a neurological assessment.
Okay.
Where they'll check your reflexes, muscle strength, and sensation.
Mm-hmm.
They might also assess your balance and coordination.
Sounds like a comprehensive evaluation.
And if they suspect neuropathy, they'll probably order some additional tests to confirm the diagnosis.
Okay.
And to determine the type and severity.
What kinds of tests are typically used?
One common test is a nerve conduction study.
Okay.
Which measures how quickly electrical signals travel through your nerves.
Oh, okay.
So for this test, they'll place small electrodes on your skin,
mm-hmm,
and deliver tiny electrical impulses to stimulate the nerves.
So if there's nerve damage, those signals will be slower than normal.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Another test is an electromyography, or EMG.
Okay.
Which measures the electrical activity of your muscles.
Oh, so it's looking at how well the nerves are communicating with the muscles.
Precisely. And for this test,
yeah,
they'll insert a thin needle electrode into the muscle.
Okay.
To record its electrical activity.
Got it.
These tests can really help pinpoint the location,
mm-hmm,
and extent of nerve damage.
Okay.
Your doctor might also order blood tests to check for things like vitamin deficiencies, diabetes, or other underlying conditions.
Right.
That could be contributing to the neuropathy.
It sounds like a multifaceted approach to diagnosis using a combination of clinical evaluation and these specialized tests.
Exactly.
Okay.
And once the diagnosis is confirmed,
yeah,
your doctor can develop a personalized treatment plan,
right,
to manage your symptoms and address any underlying causes.
You know, something we haven't really touched on yet is the role of alternative therapies.
That's a great point.
In managing neuropathy.
While conventional medicine plays a primary role in treatment, there's growing interest in these complementary and alternative therapies.
Right.
To help alleviate symptoms and just improve overall quality of life.
So it's about exploring all the available options.
Yeah.
And finding what works best for the individual.
Exactly. Let's dive into some of these alternative therapies.
Yeah, okay.
What are some of the approaches that people are finding helpful?
I've heard good things about acupuncture.
Yeah.
For pain relief, can you tell us a bit about how it works?
So acupuncture involves inserting thin needles into specific points on your body to stimulate energy flow and promote healing.
Okay.
It's based on the principles of traditional Chinese medicine.
Right.
And while the exact mechanisms are still being studied, there's evidence to suggest that it can help with pain relief and improve circulation.
It's fascinating how different cultures have developed these healing traditions.
It really is.
What about massage therapy?
Yeah.
I could see how that might be beneficial for neuropathy.
Massage therapy can also be really beneficial.
Okay.
It can help relax muscles, improve blood flow, and reduce stress.
Right.
Which can all contribute to pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a non-invasive drug-free option, which is appealing to many people.
So it's about addressing that physical tension that often comes with chronic pain.
Exactly. Another therapy gaining traction is transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation.
Okay.
Or TNS for short.
Okay.
It involves using a small device
mm-hmm.
to deliver electrical impulses to the affected area.
So it's like a mini electrical massage.
You could say that.
For your nerves.
It can help block pain signals and stimulate the release of endorphins.
Right, which are the body's natural pain relievers.
Exactly.
What about those mind-body therapies?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people find relief from chronic pain
mm-hmm.
through practices like yoga or meditation.
You're absolutely right. Mind-body therapies like yoga, tai chi, and meditation can be incredibly beneficial.
Okay.
For managing neuropathy.
Mm-hmm.
They can help you improve flexibility, strength balance,
mm-hmm.
and reduce stress.
Right.
All of which can have a positive impact on both your physical and emotional well-being.
So it's about cultivating that mind-body connection.
Yeah.
And finding ways to manage pain from within.
Exactly. And they also promote a sense of well-being and relaxation,
mm-hmm.
which can be invaluable when you're coping with a chronic condition.
It's about taking a holistic approach.
Yes.
Addressing both the physical and emotional aspects of neuropathy.
Right.
And finding what works best for you.
Couldn't agree more. And it's important to remember that what works for one person might not work for another.
Of course.
It's all about finding the right combination of therapies.
Right.
That provide you with the most relief and support.
And as with any new therapy, it's always wise to talk to your doctor.
Yes.
Before trying it, especially if you're taking medications.
Good point.
Just to make sure there are no potential interactions.
Right.
Okay, so shifting gears a bit, you mentioned earlier that research in neuropathy is constantly evolving.
It is.
Are there any promising developments on the horizon?
There are.
That give us hope for the future?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because there's so much exciting research happening.
Okay, good.
In the field of neuropathy.
Yeah.
That has the potential to really transform treatment and improve the lives of millions.
I'm eager to hear about it.
Yeah.
What are some of the areas that researchers are focusing on?
Well, one area of intense research is developing new medications.
Okay.
That target the specific mechanisms underlying nerve damage.
So instead of just masking the symptoms, these drugs would actually address the root cause of the problem.
Exactly.
That's amazing. And are there any promising candidates?
There are.
Okay.
There are some in clinical trials right now.
Right.
That are showing encouraging results.
That's fantastic news. What other breakthroughs are on the horizon?
Another exciting area of research is gene therapy.
Oh, wow.
Which involves using viruses to deliver healthy genes to damaged nerves.
Oh, wow. So yeah. It's like giving those nerves a software update.
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
And while gene therapy is still in its early stages, the potential is huge.
Yeah, that's amazing. Then there's stem cell therapy.
Right. Which is also showing promise for neuropathy.
I've heard a lot about stem cell therapy.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure how it would be applied to neuropathy.
Sure. So the idea is to use stem cells, which have this amazing ability
yeah.
to develop into any type of cell to repair those damaged nerves.
Okay.
These stem cells, they can be derived from various sources like bone marrow or umbilical cord blood, and they have the potential to actually regenerate those damaged tissues.
So it's like giving the nerves a fresh start.
Precisely. And there are a bunch of clinical trials right now exploring the use of stem cells
okay.
for various types of neuropathy.
That's great. It's such a rapidly evolving field.
It is.
With so much potential.
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable to think about the possibilities.
It is. So what other advancements are researchers working on?
Well beyond those specific treatments, there's a lot of research going on right now.
Okay.
That's just focused on understanding the underlying causes of neuropathy and developing even better diagnostic tools.
So we can identify people at risk earlier.
Exactly.
And intervene more effectively.
The more we learn about neuropathy, the better equipped we'll be.
Right.
To prevent it, treat it, and ultimately find a cure.
It's a really hopeful message for those millions of people.
It is.
Living with this condition.
Yeah, it's encouraging.
Absolutely. And right. Even though there's still a lot to learn, right?
The progress being made is really remarkable.
I completely agree. It's an exciting time to be in this field.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely optimistic about the future of neuropathy treatment.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive into neuropathy, what's the one message you want to leave our listeners with?
I think it's never give up hope. Whether you're newly diagnosed or have been living with this for years, there are always things you can do.
Right.
To manage your symptoms, improve your quality of life, and stay informed.
Yes.
About the latest research.
That's beautifully said. Knowledge is power.
It is.
And by taking an active role in your own health, you can really make a difference.
You can.
It really is inspiring to see how much progress is being made in neuropathy research.
It is.
It gives me hope that maybe someday this condition won't be the burden that it is for so many people.
I agree. I share your optimism. The advancements we've talked about
really highlight the dedication of these researchers around the world.
Yeah.
They're working so hard to find better treatments and ultimately a cure.
And it's not just about finding a cure. It's about improving the quality of life for people living with it right now.
Absolutely. There's so much that can be done to manage those symptoms and empower people to live full and meaningful lives.
Right.
Despite the challenges.
And I think a big part of that is just having access to good information.
Yeah.
And support.
You're absolutely right. That's why organizations like the Neuropathy Association and the Foundation for Peripheral Neuropathy are so important.
Yeah. They provide such valuable resources.
They do.
Education and support.
Yep.
For individuals and families who are affected by neuropathy.
They're also really strong advocates for research funding and awareness.
Right. Which are both so essential for driving progress.
Absolutely. And for anyone looking for more medical information, the Mayo Clinic and the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Okay.
Have some excellent online resources.
Perfect. We'll definitely include links to all of those in the show notes so that you can easily find them.
And just remember, you're not alone in this. There's a whole community of people out there who understand what you're going through and can offer support.
Connecting with others who share those similar experiences can make such a big difference.
It can.
It can help you feel less isolated and more empowered to manage the challenges.
Absolutely. And don't underestimate the power of your own voice.
That's right.
Advocate for yourself, ask questions, and seek out the best possible care.
You are your own best health advocate.
You are.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'd like to leave our listeners with a final thought.
Okay, sounds good.
We've explored the ins and outs of neuropathy.
We have.
The causes, the symptoms, the complications.
Right.
We even touched on some of the latest advancements in treatment and research.
It's been a very comprehensive exploration.
It has.
I hope it's been helpful.
Yes, and I hope it's left people feeling more knowledgeable and hopeful.
Me too.
But I think it's important to remember that neuropathy is more than just a diagnosis.
That's true.
It's a lived experience that affects individuals and families in very real ways.
Absolutely. We often focus on the physical aspects of the condition.
Right.
But it's so important to acknowledge the emotional and social impact
of living with neuropathy.
Really,
the chronic pain.
The limitations.
The uncertainty, all of it.
It can take a toll.
It can.
On your mental health and your relationships.
And so it's really important to seek out support.
It is.
Whether that's from loved ones, friends, support groups, or mental health professionals.
You're not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who care and resources that can help you cope.
And remember, there is no one-size-fits-all solution.
Right.
Finding what works best for you is key. It might be a combination of conventional treatments, alternative therapies, lifestyle modifications, and emotional support.
It's about creating a personalized plan that really addresses your needs and your goals.
Exactly. And never lose sight of the fact that you are stronger than you think.
You are.
Living with a chronic condition like neuropathy takes resilience, courage, and a determination to live your life to the fullest.
I love that.
That's a really powerful message to end on.
It is.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into neuropathy.
My pleasure.
We hope you found it informative, empowering, and encouraging.
And remember, knowledge is power.
It is.
The more you understand about neuropathy, the better equipped you'll be to manage it and advocate for your own health.
Until next time, stay curious and keep learning.